Hey, Justin.
Hey, Andros.
Guess what, man? There are things happening in the world, things that are beyond our control.
Like what?
Besides the world being on fire and everything, and besides ex-President 45 having a slew of criminal cases before him, there are other things happening in the world besides all of that, besides Israel and Palestine. And I want you to repeat to me what you said about Israel, because that was hysterical.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that.
Kidding, I'm kidding. No, we're not wading into that, except it's just terrible on both sides, and it's a nightmare, and I can't even think about it, because it just makes me so depressed all the way around. But, so what keeps me occupied is thinking about other dumb things. And those are the things that we are going to get into right after we do this. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Andres Sturgeon.
And I'm Justin Womack.
And we are the Marketing Geeks.
Marketing Geeks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
So we're recording this on a Saturday night. It is November 18th, just a few days away from Thanksgiving. And the news has broken that late last night, so they released this press release Friday night when the news is dead, that Sam Altman, who is the guy behind ChatGPT, was fired from the board of OpenAI.
Yeah, big shocking stuff right there. And so, yeah, Sam Altman is the face of that company. He's the Elon Musk of OpenAI, ChatGPT. Not that Elon Musk is in your highest esteem at the moment, but we'll get to that a little bit later. What do you think went down with OpenAI and ChatGPT here?
You know, this is a really strange situation because, number one, the guy has been very forthcoming about the dangers of AI. He's talked numerous times about how dangerous it is and how they have to be careful now that they basically let the genie out of the bottle, and cautioning people against it. The other thing I found rather interesting was that just the other day he announced ChatGPT 5 was coming, and it was going to be, they're getting close to what they're calling general artificial intelligence, which is kind of the next level up, where a mechanism that can actually think for itself. It's a bit, you know, getting closer to passing the Turing test. So this came as a surprise, and they said that it had something to do with him not being forthcoming to the board. And this could mean any number of things. Number one, my prediction is, one of the predictions is that next week, the New York Times or the New Yorker is going to drop some bombshell story, and we're going to find out that, he was, you know, doing something unsavory.
something negative. Yeah, I'm going to second that one real quick here, because it has to be very bad for them to fire this man. I mean, if you're following, you know, he's not maybe a household name in the general population, but anyone who's following tech, following AI, knows who Sam Altman is. And this is a big, big deal. Even if you're following business in general, you know this guy. So this is not a lightweight firing. It's probably the equivalent of Steve Jobs in the 90s getting fired from Apple.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. So in retaliation, he has said that he's going to start another AI venture. Now, what is interesting is that OpenAI has just, they signed some deals with like Microsoft. And so their ChatGPT is built into Bing right now, so you can use it. But what I find kind of interesting as another possibility is that he was very vocal about the direction that OpenAI was taking, and perhaps they didn't like that because maybe they want to sign a deal with something that he found unsavory.
So in terms of when you when you're speculating here, are you thinking that they were going too far with AI and like apocalyptic standards here? Is that what you're thinking, that they wanted to take it further because of profit, or not far enough?
Well, let's say that hypothetically they wanted to use their infrastructure to train an AI that was, you know, maybe made Palantir, Peter Thiel's spyware program, or Black Box, the Israeli spyware program. They were willing to give OpenAI a whole bunch of money to use their data set to train a certain set of data, which could be used for unsavory purposes for, governmental agencies that want to keep tabs on somebody. They can sift through a lot of data, right? So perhaps there was that. Third option, option three, would be that he got another offer. He got a job offer that was so good that he couldn't not take it.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Maybe. But I feel like that option two one, where they did a deal with Palantir, and if he was so far against it that he tried to block it in the boardroom and went over and above, I think that could explain how he could get ousted. That's a good theory. I think that might hold some ground there.
Well, either one of those, I'm sure it will come out in the wash. We'll find out the answer to it. But I do think that the guy who basically brought us the most disruptive technology that humans have faced since fire, I really believe that. Also, it's a gift to the world. OpenAI, the fact that it's not hiding behind Google servers, or it's open source, right?
Not open source, but yeah, sort of
halfway. And you could, like, part of the innovations that were coming out with the next iteration of ChatGPT was being able to create your own GPT that can lock into APIs. So an API is like the computer code for, like, say, if you wanted to create an app for Spotify to use on your TV, you would use their API to do it.
Yeah.
It basically gives you a connection to, you know, their tech on some level. So the fact that you can create your own AI assistant to tap into APIs of all sorts is incredible, because you can, the things that you can do with that now, it's like...
It is nuts, yeah. Now, I want to come back to that story, though, about... less than 24 hours after the announcement that he was fired from the board, you mentioned this already, but he's now telling investors that he is going to be founding a new artificial intelligence venture. And apparently the rumors are that he's bringing over the OpenAI president, the sitting president, Greg Brockman, is expected to join this new company. So that's all pretty interesting if that's the case here.
Yeah, I am very curious to see what is going on. The last option is that someone on the board released a evil AI onto the world, and he tried to shut it down, and they wouldn't let him, and he had to, for ethical reasons. And there, who knows? Maybe they'll replace the new CEO with an actual AI bot. That would be making a stand, wouldn't it?
Maybe they already replaced a few board members with AI, and that's who fired him to begin with. Who knows?
Man, they're becoming the Borg. So we have artificial intelligence, and then we have absolute zero intelligence. We move on to Elon Musk.
Your favorite.
My favorite person, who decided that he was going to agree with a tweet from a known racist. I forget what the tweet was, but it was something about, it was like super anti-Semitic, like about Jews controlling the money throughout history or something. And Elon Musk was like, yeah, right on, or whatever he does. Like, sounds interesting, or whatever the hell he tweets. And it was one step over the line. So immediately... Comcast, the most evil corporation in the world, decides to pull funding. When Comcast, says you have crossed the line. That's like when, Slash had to tell the drummer of Guns N' Roses, like, dude, you're doing too much drugs. You know, it's like when Slash is telling you you're doing too many drugs, you're doing too many drugs.
It may have started with Comcast, but then it spread quickly because Apple, IBM, Disney.
Disney, yeah.
Other Paramount, Lionsgate, a lot of major companies have pulled. And what's interesting, and I mentioned this before we got on the air, is that Elon Musk technically is no longer the CEO of Twitter, but he's still treated like the face, and he treats Twitter like it's his, and he acts like the face of whatever it's called, X.
It's always going to be Twitter to me.
And so this, of course, it's always going to fall on his words. Now, before this even happened, too, I don't remember if you remember this, like maybe a month ago, I think before the attack even happened, or no, right after the attack happened, he also recommended a news source who was, I can't remember, it had some anti-Semitic tweets in their past, and the news source that he recommended, after people started digging into them and what they were saying, it was pretty bad too. So I don't know if he's just compulsive and he just like agrees with things or makes these recommendations on the fly and doesn't think things through, or if it's truly plotted out and that's just who he is. He's anti-Semitic.
I think the as I've said before, Elon Musk is what happens when you can afford to do all the cocaine, all of it, just all the cocaine. And
I think he's just compulsive. Personally, I think he's really compulsive, and he acts before he thinks, and he does some stupid things.
Yeah, I don't know. I think especially the way that he's been alienating, people more on the left who are they're more of his target audience to buy a Tesla. And I know actually a number of people who will not buy a Tesla. They were planning on it, and they're not going to now.
Yeah.
And, the Cybertruck was like, did you ever see that episode of The Simpsons where Homer was able to design his own car?
I did. I haven't even seen a lot of Simpsons episodes, but I've seen that one, yes.
and it was like the ugliest car ever. I feel like Elon Musk built the Cybertruck this way. Like, he's just like, guys. After a huge rail of, coke.
He built it for himself. And did you watch, did you see the clip? He went on the Joe Rogan podcast and they shot a bow and arrow at the Cybertruck to show off that it was like barely scratched from it. But I mean, like, why? Why?
I know. We, this is the dumbest timeline. I mean, let us not forget, we are only like 3 or 4 months out from Mark Zuckerberg almost having a cage match with Elon Musk.
Until Zuckerberg injured his knee. I think he tore his knee up or something in training.
I wish to God they did that because I think that if they pay-per-viewed that shit, Elon would get his $44 billion back. I would so pay money to see that.
I would have loved to see it. I probably would have illegally pirated the stream, but I would have still watched
it. No, I probably would have too. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely would not have given him money. But, but it's the dumbest timeline. What else have you got for me, my friend, besides that?
Yeah, I mean, we got a few stories here. I know we wanted to talk about a little bit about the death of Marvel and get into some movie news, but do we want to get into that now, or is there any more business?
I think that's a good idea, yeah, because, okay, so this is something that's really interesting. So I'm working on my buddy's film, Josh Tickell, who's been on a guest on the show.
Which is called Common Ground, right? The new one?
Common Ground, yep. And it's an environmental documentary. It's actually really great. And it's been playing all across the country. But one of the things that he's been doing, which has been kind of genius, is he's taking it on the road like a road show. So he's going theater to theater. He's getting groups in there, people who are really passionate about soil and organic farming and regenerative farming. And he has a panel discussion at the end so people can like talk about, the movie. And so each of the screenings have turned it into an event. So part of my strategy has been to, in each city, release a press release that's newsworthy about kind of the local story, right? So, and one of those things that I did was, Taylor Swift came out with her movie and she had this innovation, which was she was not going to go through a studio. She distributed it herself through her own company and bypass the middleman. So you don't need the studio. And The Sound of Freedom did the same thing, which, we've talked about that. And so I released another press release that was like, this little movie Common Ground is doing the same thing that Taylor Swift is doing. So it's kind of Taylor Swift news, But that press release did very, very well. And but it also made me think about the fact that some of the biggest movies of the year were these little independent films. Taylor's movie, obviously, The Sound of Freedom. And meanwhile, you had Mission Impossible 6. You had...
I think it's like 8. I think it's like 8. I don't think it's 6.
Or 8,
it's,
whatever.
It's more than 6. Whatever it was. Yeah.
Part 1. you had Indiana Jones. You had Fast X. You had... there was another Marvel movie. There was The Flash.
Well, the new one that just came out. The Marvels just came out, and that's flopped.
Right. And this was the last one in that pipeline, and that flopped.
Oh, Ant-Man was the other one. Ant-Man 3.
Yeah, and then... word has it that Warner Brothers basically is writing off Aquaman. That's going to be a complete bomb as well.
Well, speaking of Warner Brothers, did you hear that they tried to do a full tax write-off and shelve the Wile E. Coyote movie, which was starring John Cena and apparently was test screening very, very well. And they had a full-on, they were going to write it off. There was so much backlash and people saying, like, we'll never work for the studio again if you do this. That now they might sell it to a streaming service, but I don't think that's confirmed yet. So it still could get written off.
Yeah, it might get shelved. And so, but what this is showing us, especially with the strikes that just happened, is that the entire movie industry is collapsing in on itself. And so, you know, before the pandemic, this idea of like, hey, let's get a streaming service going and we'll just get people to give us their money every month, right? And building all that content out is expensive. It's like really, really expensive. And so it was just get as much content out as cheaply as possible, screw as many people over as possible. And now people are tired of it. I have unsubscribed to every single streaming service I own now. I just won't do it. I keep Prime because I think it's like $3 a month. That's it. Here.
Well, it comes with the free shipping too if you pay for it that way. You can.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I believe me, I have it's like the trolley problem. Every time I pay that $3, I'm giving it to Jeff Bezos, you know?
Well, I mean, technically he's gone off I guess he's still chairman probably, but he's off. He's not CEO anymore, technically.
No, but he's still making money.
He's kind of like Elon Musk is. But I want to say that the other thing about these movies is that the other huge success recently was Five Nights at Freddy's, which was an independent movie done by Blumhouse that was like $80 million opening and simultaneous released on streaming also, which was crazy that it opened so big. Not only that, but that movie, like not only did it outperform the Marvels, but I believe if you take the Marvels and then if you look at the projections for this weekend's The Hunger Games prequel, which most people don't even know came out this weekend, combined, it's close. I mean, I think those two movies will out-earn Five Nights at Freddy's on their opening weekend, but it the fact that it's even close is crazy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So all of these movies, including like the Hunger Games movie, including all of these, they're all sequels, right?
Or prequels, but yeah.
Yeah, the movies that really did surprisingly well, like just from like a return on your investment, you got the Oppenheimer, you got Barbie, and you've got Sound of Freedom, Five Nights at Freddy's, all original content, right? So the day of like the sequels and the superheroes and the big special effects, those things don't make money. And unfortunately, the nice little independent films, like, you know, you got your David Lynch's.
Taylor Swift also was hugely successful, ton of money.
Right. And a number of these didn't go through the normal studio system. And it's almost like, do we need the studios anymore? Interestingly enough, one of the movie companies that that continued to shoot through the entire strike was A24. And they make a lot of little independent films. But they were able to continue working because they were meeting the demands of the Screen Actors Guild and the Writers Guild.
But going back to Taylor Swift's movie, I believe she struck a deal directly with like AMC, right? Or was it? Actually, it was more than that, though. How did that work?
Like, yeah. Oh, I mean, who? What movie chain would not want the Taylor Swift movie, right?
Well, I didn't expect it to be as successful as it was. Like, I honestly was taken. I was surprised at the level of success.
You don't know Swifties, then, do you?
I don't. I do not know Swifties. And I mean, I guess the concert was gigantic, enormous. So I didn't even realize how big that was. But
imagine a Trump rally, but instead of guns, there's screaming teenage girls.
My God.
Right? That's what I'm talking about. No, I'm not. Okay. I'm so happy I don't have a daughter. I could avoid all that. Although I did take my son to see Lady Gaga for his first concert.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice.
I got to say, that was pretty dope. That was...
I think she would be a really good concert to see live, yeah.
Yeah, and she's like the type of entertainer, like, I don't mind paying money to see her entertain because she is a master. She's so good.
So coming back to Marvel, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, have you seen the Marvels? Because I have.
Oh, you did? No kidding.
I saw it.
That was you.
I went.
You were the guy.
That was me. That was me. I was the one. I was the one that went.
I read about you in Wired magazine. It was like weird. So do tell. Dish out. How was it?
It was very average, very by the numbers, better than I expected it to be given the reviews and everything. But I mean, it was as standard and as by the numbers as you could ever expect. It had no real surprises, no real stakes. And it was a decent movie. Had it come out, 5 years ago, it probably would have performed better and it would have been better received. But we are at a level of fatigue here with this whole superhero thing, and they're out of ideas is really what's happening.
Yeah, nobody's excited about Kang the Conqueror, and next week is Jonathan Majors' court case is going to happen, and if he is found guilty, Disney will have to drop him, and my guess is that they're gonna. Just kind of start from scratch. They're going to dump the whole Kang, like basically retcon the whole thing.
For some backstory here, though, they already announced. So Marvel already announced a movie called Avengers Kang, the Kang Dynasty, which was supposed to feature Jonathan Majors and be entirely about the Kang storyline, which I'm not that familiar with, but I've kind of learned about more recently. And now that's all up in the air. And even if he's found not guilty. I mean, he has to be found not guilty and he has to be like re-embraced by the fans. And there has to be even more than a not guilty verdict to really bring him back at this point, I think.
Yeah. But the thing is that I don't know a single person who's excited about the Kang storyline. Like, like Thanos, that made sense. Right. And there's talk about like Doc Doom, who's like one of the greatest Marvel villains. They should skip the multiverse. People are tired of it, but also in truth, we've seen it all. We've seen like where else can that whole thing go? It's like there's nothing exciting about it. It's kind of like the Harry Potter world, and this is part of my problem with it because it's not about making these IPs and giving people something that they want, giving the fans something that they want. There's a part of me that almost feels like I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it's almost like they took these beloved IPs and purposefully ran them into the ground because people had too much hope and it gave people too much levity in their lives. It's just better to just destroy it all and make some money on the way
there. There may be a case study written about Kevin Feige and taking the Marvel Cinematic Universe after Endgame, which was at this absolute peak, and crashing it down within, 2 to 3 years? Like, taking it down to where it had never had a flop to, like, 3 or 4 consecutive flops in a row and the thing falling apart. I mean, it's a legendary collapse that's happening. And also, the South Park just released a direct streaming movie that is just ridicules kind of Disney, their desire to cast female characters, sometimes forcing gender swaps, things like that, which when it feels forced, I can see that can get a problem. When it's done right, it's fine, but they pushed it a little bit too far. And I think the general sentiment is that there is backlash now because of that.
Well, I have no problems with the gender swap, especially people are like up in arms over the Little Mermaid, like for God's sakes, come on.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous. I agree.
It's like you're upset because a fictional creature, whatever. I don't get it. But But I am surprised that someone greenlit Snow White, because first of all, her name is Snow White, and the whole thing was her skin was, you know, as white as snow and black hair and ruby red lips, and that was part of the lore of her beauty. And you want to race swap that? That's cool. I mean, that's fine if it has a reason. But then you get into the seven dwarves, and this is a little tricky in this day and age, man. So I'm not exactly sure. Like, at that point, when someone says Snow White, okay, and the seven dwarves, we can't do this movie, man. Like,
Do you see the initial press that came out was that they were going to replace the seven dwarves with seven magical creatures, and there was so much backlash to that on the internet, but then there's like, you have to put dwarves on the screen. You're going to, you're probably going to have pressure to use dwarf actors, but you also can't do it in a way that is negative towards like dwarves. So it's really, really shaky.
Yeah. And Peter Dinklage can't be in everything.
No. Yeah.
Peter Dinklage can't be in everything. You know, maybe you can clone. I mean, I would watch seven Peter Dinklages. The guy's amazing, you know, but
yeah, he's great.
But
he came out against the movie because he's like, how can you do this movie this day and age? Like, this is just,
that's
so,
what
yeah.
I'm saying. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. The second you said seven dwarves, somebody at Disney should have said, raised their hand and gone, listen, guys, just so you know, we can't do this like ever. like this and Song of the South, they're off the list forever. So, whatever. There is a part of me that is kind of watching this with glee as the entire structures of, and gatekeepers of entertainment are collapsing. I mean, the artists are getting screwed, definitely, and AI is going to really, you know, change everything. But in actuality, and this is the other thing, is like, I look at Khalil, I look at my son, right? And he plays, he loves Roblox. It's his thing. He loves Roblox. He will play that all day. So I have to set some serious limits on it. So I try to get him to watch something, and I haven't shown him Star Wars yet. And part of the reason why is because in his little world, Star Wars is just more content. It's nothing special. It's just like another movie, you know, it's like, here's an album. Oh yeah, there's a song on there. It's just more content. Everything is just content now. And I think that's the thing that I lament the most, is that like, you can't watch like a good old movie anymore because we're going too fast, and it's impossible to compete with video games.
Yeah.
Like young kids, who are growing up with in you know, this, the digital natives, they're not going to watch movies anymore. They're into like 3D interactive experiences. What's a movie going
to
do?
They're into YouTube, man.
Yeah,
I mean, like, Jacob is obsessed with YouTube, and I've come to learn a lot about Mr. Beast recently and watched some of his videos where he's getting hundreds of millions of views. And if you watch any of these top YouTubers, they cut like every 3 seconds. It's cut, 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 yeah. cut, plus like crazy sound effects. Everything is like boom, 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 and that's the attention spans of today's youth. And so you can't have them sit in front of an old movie because they lose interest incredibly quickly.
Oh, yeah.
My son has no interest in watching a movie. He calls them long, like any movie is long, except he can sit and watch like a 4-hour YouTube video, no problem. But you know, but a movie is too long.
Yeah, exactly. and so I mean, I'm kind of guilty of that too, man. I mean, it's like Killers of the Flower Moon, 3 hours long. Oh my God, I gotta sit for 3 hours. Yeah, but I'll binge watch the shit out of like For All Mankind. Yeah, I'll sit through 5 episodes of that. But
you know what helped me on Killers of the Flower Moon is I didn't know how long it was, and I went to the theater. I didn't know. And it was it's 3.5 hours. It's not 3 hours. It's 3.5 hours. The movie started 30 minutes after previews. It was late, man, by the time I got out of there. Great movie. I really do think it could have been edited down. I think a lot of these directors, when they're given free rein by like Apple or Amazon or these streaming services, they do benefit from editors. I mean, I don't mind having a director's cut released also, but Like, they, I think,
dude, it's Scorsese.
There is a purpose to editing down. It's tough, but there's room to edit that movie down and make it a masterpiece.
I don't know, Scorsese. I'd watch 10 hours of him eating breakfast.
It's great. I mean, it's a great. Yeah. It's a great movie. I think it could have been edited down, but you know, who am I to talk?
Yeah, right? I read the book, and it's a magnificent story. But I think, but that's it. You hit the nail on the head. Like, sitting through a 3.5 hour movie 20 years ago for me was no problem. I would look forward to it. It was a whole experience. But now my attention span has also been on the decline. And so I think that this is one thing that scares me, especially as, you know, AI is now becoming, as we've talked about, it's becoming a dangerous weapon. And, you know, you have Elon Musk who is vaguely anti-Semitic, and he's sharing this content and using AI to help him. And you know, people have short attention spans now. Where is it? What does this mean in the grand scheme of things?
AI is still very much in its infancy, and I mean, they've just rolled out. I can't remember the name of the software right now, but I was playing with a software that will create like 5-second movies based on text prompts. And just how far it's come in a year is nuts. And how far, you know, it's going to keep going and going and going, especially as they release generative AI, which is AI that can basically teach itself and build upon itself for exponential growth. And as that becomes more and more unleashed, who knows what's coming in a year from now.
My prediction is going to be that you'll be able to just put on your headset and say, okay, create a game for me that I can finish in 3 hours, and I want to be a superhero. And, you know, it'll just create the content for you. It'll generate the world. It'll generate the storyline. It'll feed dialogue to the characters. And I honestly believe that when both our sons are able to date, they might choose to date an AI partner. And
maybe.
Why not?
I mean, I was playing a game. There's a game on Unreal Engine. I forget what it's called. I don't remember what it's called. It's just like a city simulation, but you're basically in the Matrix.
Uh-huh.
And the point of the game, or at least it's in demo format right now, is you walk around and you talk to the people in the street. When you just talk with your microphone, and they have full conversations with you. They're powered through ChatGPT API.
Oh, God, what's this game?
I'll send you a link to it afterwards. So I'll put it in the show notes, too, for anyone else to try it out. But it's fun. It's interesting. I mean, it's like fun for like a couple hours, then you kind of lose interest after a while, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'll share it with you, but it just shows you creative uses of this technology. And I mean, you can now have like conversations with AI bots in the game. It's like nuts.
Oh my God, man. It's a brave new world. It's wild. I gotta tell you though, I mean, it's scary and it's intense, but, it is hands down the most interesting time in human history, is it not?
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So with that, happy to be a marketer, just floating in the breeze and somewhere in the middle of the 21st century.
Exactly. What a time to be alive. You know that this is going to get even more nuts as we get in here.
And we'll be here to cover it all for you, ladies and gentlemen. And with that, I'm Andre Sturgeon.
And I am Justin Womack.
We are the Marketing Geeks. And we are out.
Stay classy.
Marketing Geeks, come on, bring your friends. We'll learn marketing from distant lands. Andre Sturgeon and Justin Womack. The fun will never end. It's Marketing Geeks.
Marketing Geeks.